God bless you. Welcome to Heart of Worship Podcast. We are in episode 6, season 2. I'm joined again here by my brother Doogie to my right.
Shalom.
And to my left, teacher Angelo.
God bless you.
And all the way to my left, my brother Kolya.
God bless you guys.
So we're back in the studio. Want to have more of a conversational point. There's a few things that we want to bring to the table. And believe me, it's not everything that's going on. Something more, I feel, not just what we go through, but I believe also, Angelo, something that is consistent through as far as I can remember as a believer.
Yeah.
I think all of us can vouch for a time and a season that people, would you say, I'm just going to phrase it this way, and however you want to emphasize the question.
Okay.
I think for my personal journey, many times over, I got hurt.
Sure.
From maybe immaturity, if I can say on my side. But I cannot deny the fact that in the moment it was real. It was real pain. It was really being upset of what I felt at the time was wrongdoing.
Of course, Pastor. I want to say that to say a title, I would just say, I'm church hurt. How many times you heard that before?
Right.
Yeah, it's plenty of times. Now. Yeah.
I'm hurt by the church, or you know, you go into this solitaire mode where I'm just hurt by the church, and you know, I'm doing my thing. I'm home. I'm praying. I got church in my house, and then we just kind of draw back, Pastor.
Isolated, right? Would you say?
Isolated. We draw back from everything, whether. That person was serving on a church or just congregation.
Mm-hmm.
They get hurt over the littlest thing. And listen, let me say, I've been there plenty of times. Everybody here at the table, we've all been there.
Yes.
And I want to say this. If you really stop and look at it, you seem to come across this. And I wrote it down like this. Never entitled, but only privileged. Now, what do I mean by that? You've only gotten hurt by that someone or by the church because somewhere down the line, you felt privileged. You felt entitled.
Very good.
You felt like, well, you know what? I was the deacon. I was the head usher. And I was doing all I could do. Numa, nobody recognized my hard work, my effort. And now this entitlement comes over us, Pastor. And we feel like we've been betrayed somewhere. Numa, the problem is we have to understand that we're not entitled because we're not privileged due to our entitlement. We're privileged by His grace that we get to serve God.
Amen.
That we get to be a part of the church. So when you come to an understanding that I'm not entitled, but I'm privileged to serve God, drew His grace and His mercy. Well, that mismo, it gives you like waterproof, like everything just beads off you. Like, yeah, then, no matter how it could come against you, you just understand, you got a mindset, I am privileged to serve God. I am privileged to come to church. I'll even say this, I'm privileged so I could put my 10% in the bag. I'm privileged to do it all. And offense just really becomes a... It won't stick to you.
And I think that's the point. It's not to say that we would be guarded against offenses.
Right.
Offenses, Jesus promises in Luke chapter 17 that offenses are going to come. Now, back to what you just said. Now, I believe what shields us from not allowing the offense to consume us is allowing a relationship with the Lord, what I believe is crucial, because all of us have been offended by ministry or someone in the church. The idea is, I'm going to stand as a witness to it. I've been offended multiple times.
Yes.
But not to the point where it caused me to leave the church. I'm going to say my journey. I stood there. I took it. But what allowed me to go forward is to understand what you just said right now. I was in a place of a privilege. What I was doing.
Wow.
And when you find yourself privileged, then you're not going to look at people thinking they're treating you bad.
No.
And the contrary, you're going to say, thank you, God, for allowing me to be in this place, to serve you in this way.
Yeah. Right.
So I believe that if anybody's listening to this, And if you ever found yourself in that place and maybe you did leave, understand that is one remedy to it. If anybody has caused anything against you, there is one amazing remedy and is out of your strength and out of your power. You can get no glory for this. The same forgiveness, same mercy that God has given you, extend it, even if they're wrong. See, sometimes we want to make it right by them saying they're sorry. Guess what? Most of the people that offended you don't even realize they offended you.
Yeah. Amazing.
It's amazing.
I would say, Pastor, entitlement is Chaches, the tactic of the enemy.
Yeah.
You know, there's people on the Kangara where they got a certain chair. That's my chair. And walks in on Sunday. Why? Don't they know that's my chair?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's my spot.
Why you sitting in my chair?
Why you sitting in my chair? We become so entitled, call that mismo, the littlest thing, Chaches.
Yeah.
And we kind of forget, hey, go back to the early stages of receiving the gospel or getting saved. You were crying, you were so joyful, where it was a privilege, Duka, because you got to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Well, that's got to flow in your witness, in your service, in church, in every aspect of your life. Privilege by His grace. I want to read one scripture, 1 Peter 2:10, Dixo Penel. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Thank you, Jesus, that now I am a son. I am a servant on the congregation, and I get to be privileged to serve Him. Amen?
Amen. 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 Angelo, you and the pastor said it. I'm privileged.
Yeah.
And I believe that when a person has the mentality that the church owes them something, or the pastor owes them something.
Come on.
When the church or the people have the mentality, when a person has the mentality of that the church owes them something, or the pastor owes them something because they're attending or because they're being a faithful servant,
start counting your
I believe that that is an open door. Because what you're doing there is you're putting all of your trust into man. And the second the pastor, the second the church worker or something does something to you, right away, Pugata, you're hurt. You're disappointed. You're done with. No. We're supposed to serve in a way that we're privileged. It's a privilege for me to be here. It's a privilege that I am a part of it. And when you have Kodom mentality, you don't leave an open door to Dukajos Pala pastor or Pala Kangari. You're serving the Lord, and you're there because you know that God has put you there by His grace and by His mercy, not because you deserved it, because you're there on time or because you attend the church. Perfect. Is that God put you there because of His grace and His mercy.
I want to say something. It's the perfect moment. I want to share something with you. I remember coming to church, Doogie, and I'm sitting in the middle row, and this is early on as I'm coming to church. And I remember it was Danny who announced that we need to gather some extra funds because you guys are working on a podcast, right? And I remember sitting there. I don't think I ever told you this. This is like first on, hands on. And I'm like, podcast? What? What's that? Right? And I'm looking, telling me, podcast, right? Whatever. And so time went on, and then Doogie's telling me they're making the room, they're setting up. And then some way, somehow, It had to be God. I didn't even know it's a podcast or even asked to be on. I never asked you to let me be on the podcast. Never came to me. Somehow, someway, here am I am in this chair doing podcasts, right? Yeah. So you know how I look at it? This here, she's the main title. This is a privilege.
That's right.
This is an honor.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen. Amen. Perfect. Amen.
I would, the only thing I would add to it, again, with the offense part, Angelo, Kolia, Doogie, like you said a minute ago, everyone has experienced at one point or another some kind of discouragement, some kind of pain, some kind of something. And if you haven't, you haven't experienced church yet. I'll be honest with you.
That's very good. What?
It's part of it.
You never experienced
it. Years went with something. I kid you not. Years. I'm not talking about a few months. Years with an offense that I believe someone did to me, and finally had the opportunity to confront the person and tell them what they did. I realized that moment that I was holding something for no reason, because when I looked at their face,
They didn't even know it.
They were like, it was brand new to them.
Oh. They never thought about
it. Wow.
They never thought about
it. Maybe
that makes it worse.
It makes it worse.
I'll be honest with you. First word mentioned in a podcast, I felt stupid.
Yeah.
I'm like, what was that about? All that energy, all that effort, all that thinking, for what? I would say sometimes the enemy would make it look like a giant. In reality, it's not. The Bible declares something, that we ought to confront our situations. Don't let the sun go down before making peace with your brother. Because sometimes, how many of us in this room have just let time go by and thinking the time fixes things? It doesn't fix anything. I will suggest, if this is any kind of solution to what anyone is going through, pray about it, confront it, and don't let time go by, because time doesn't fix it.
Amen. Pastor, what would you have to say? And we're a product of it, Ochachimos. What would you have to say to a person that's been hurt by the church or been hurt by a pastor? And the first time he let it go, and then he went to different ministry and he keeps getting hurt. And what would you have to say? And he's just at a point now where he doesn't want to serve because he's afraid of getting hurt. He doesn't want to serve no more because he was left with a bad taste in his mouth. What would you say to that person?
I think it would be a combination of the things that you've spoken, Golia, via Angelo, to nobody owes you anything.
Mm.
That's one.
Come on.
Because if you think the people owe you something, then you're always going to think the people are not performing to your standard because you feel they owe you something.
Very good.
No one owes you nothing.
Very good.
We find ourselves serving God. Here it is. You cannot serve God unless you serve people.
Mm. Very good. Amazing. Say that again, Pastor.
You're not going to be able to serve the Lord unless you serve people.
Very good.
So that you say that you want to be a servant, but you don't want to be involved in the church, then you'll never be able to serve God unless you serve the people, because the people are created in the image and the likeness of God. So guess what? The only way that I can show that I love God is if I give this grace and I give this mercy, even if it's not deserved. This is how I display that God lives in me.
Very good. Amen.
That'll be the short answer. And even though I believe there might be a broader answer, because I know what you're talking about. For some reason, I feel like I know exactly what you're saying. It's like, complaining is no good. I don't know why I'm saying this, but I want to say it. Complaining about your leadership and complaining about the people that are stewards over you is not making your situation any better.
Mm. Just lead to worse things.
It does, because then you make it a pattern to speak about things that do wrong to you, and then without you realizing, you are hurting yourself, you're hurting your testimony, you're hurting your walk, and you will not grow by talking consistently and bringing out the wrongs that people do. People are going to do
very
wrongs.
Good.
That's part of the process. We are imperfect.
Right. Very good.
Everything in moderation, especially with everything that's going on. I understand that there are mistakes, and there are those premeditated mistakes that are devastating to your walk and to your ministry and the people around you. I'm not talking about that. There are things that get us, and we don't even realize it. I speak for myself. Maybe there are things, and I don't mean to do it.
Yeah.
And if and I do it, and then I don't realize it, I'm just a man. But we can't put people consistently on a microscope and try to figure out everything that is wrong. The Bible declares that the love of God will cover a multitude of sin.
Very good.
So if the same sin that was spared by me, by the blood of Jesus on Calvary cross, when I accepted him as our Lord, my Savior, what? Extend the same thing to others.
Very good.
You want to live in a happy place in ministry and your family? Don't look at every single mistake. Because if you're only going to look at the mistakes, guess what?
Yeah.
Mistakes you're going to find.
How could I look at somebody else's mistakes or a leader's mistakes, let's say, when I'm a product of mistakes, when I know that God saved me and God picked me up when I was down? How after could I go point the finger at somebody else, Doogie, at the top, oh, he's not doing this right, he's not doing that right? How does
I listen, let's speak the truth. Like, I believe there are certain responsibilities with certain people, and I speak for myself.
Yes.
I have to calculate decisions and choices that I make, lest that I find myself, Doogie, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to preach one thing and live something else. That's far from it. I think I'll be so ashamed. My prayer life will be hindered. Yeah. And again, I'm a man. We make mistakes.
We all do.
But I'll never, I'll make a promise to myself. I will never preach something or demand something from you or any of you men that me, myself, I'm not living by. And if anything I've learned by the word, just be who you are. Like that, we don't have to live a double life.
Mm. Very good.
Great.
Just what you see is what you know. And like that, I don't have to waste so much energy to try to convince you. Cover it up. That's a double life. Anybody's listening to this? That's a double life. Mm. You're preaching and living one way in the pulpit, and then I gotta put another show on for you off the pulpit, so I'm consistently in the pulpit.
Make sure and match.
Okay, so here he's gotta be a very. I'm giving a solution to some. What you see is what you get, and all of us should be that way. So that when you get to know me, you're going to see I'm the same person. And if you like what that person is, glory to God. And if you don't, I'm sorry, but no one is perfect to the point that we disqualify anybody. Listen, at the end of the day, we are all here in the same journey of grace and salvation. Mm. Should it be calculated what we do? Is there a here it is, and I'm going to stop at the topic at least. There is accountability that we need to consider. If I do something, I have to understand it has a ripple effect, not only to my house and my children, but also the ministry that I serve. Mm. And we have to be careful. So,
I want to add to that. I think a lot of this happens is because of Korea, pastor, these feelings of hurt and this letdown in the church is because we look at a church or a ministry as a clique. As something fun to do, as the crew to be a part. I'll just say it, that what ministry is better, who has a better choir, and you put yourself in that, and you want to live this lifestyle, whether it be to live up to those standards. And I think the biggest problem is we have the wrong perception of what the church is for and what a ministry is for. Don't get me wrong, everybody makes mistakes. Yes, it happens. But at the end of the day, a ministry is to preach the gospel for the lost, to bring the cross, to bring salvation, to let people know, hey, there's a way out. That's I just wanted to add that on there. So
No, perfect. So I, again, and one of the same, please, and I want everybody to listen to this. I'm not saying it's okay to make mistakes and repeat making the same mistakes. Because otherwise, if we keep on doing the same thing, then what lesson have we learned from the mistake that we've done? Mistakes are not for anything else but to teach us. If you ever follow a leader that does a devastating mistake and gets back up, those are always the best leaders to follow.
Mm.
Because they know the pain of the valley. So you see, the being down in that place to make a mistake, and listen, this is important. Leaders have one thing in common. Greatest leaders have one thing in common. They all failed at one point or another.
Amazing. Pastor, I want to say something regarding it. Well, a disciple of anyone at any given time, do you want to be a leader? One pin and yes.
Yeah.
There's no one that really says, I want to be a follower.
Mm.
No, never really comes out, right? I'm a leader. I want to lead. But you really want to know what separates the leader from the follower?
Come on.
You ready? Is that I want to say something, Pastor. And podcast viewer, listen. Even if the very minister of the church fails you, fails God, that your faith is so rooted in Christ, and let me tell you something. Don't be surprised. You might look in the back of you, and you might have a following. Because leaders don't depend to their right, to their left. They only depend on what's ahead. That's Christ. So if you today, well, I'm hurt from the church. I'm hurt from this guy. The very pastor that I went and put my trust in, Asundim Listi, Penyawo Manga Sati, Mekama Katakatopeza, Akana, he's caught in something. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You be led by Jesus Christ as the chief shepherd.
Amen. Amen.
And go forward. And that's what's going to make you a leader. Now, you might say, oi, that's so hard, Angelo. Well, there comes the line. Either you're a leader or you're a follower.
Mm.
That's what makes the draw. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Absolutely. Again, to add to it, leadership in itself, it's I believe the design, Angelo, is I believe I would never learn to lead until I learned to follow.
Right.
And again, I'm not going to discredit any. I believe there was great men of God that God allowed to bring in my life. And I don't want to discredit anyone, but
sure.
Sometimes it's, you don't have to have the greatest leader to learn to be the best leader.
I would say, if you ever want to learn from somebody, don't learn from their success. Learn from their mistakes.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. And then I think it's cheaper.
It's, yeah.
Hey, one time. Very good.
So the point given is that sometimes God will allow certain people in your life, not because they're the greatest leaders, but it kind of teaches you something. It teaches you not to duplicate what you see, if it makes any sense.
Yeah.
And then you become better, not because Sarpinandu, it's not because they're doing such a great job. In the contrary, you turn to learn by somebody else's paid mistakes.
Amazing.
And every mistake does have a price. Unfortunately, it does have a price. So I believe, again, leadership, setting an example, growing as people, not staying stuck, Doogie.
Yeah.
Not staying stuck is essential to all of us as a church. And I'm not talking about just this church. I'm talking about the universal body of Christ. That, you know, this is the audience we want to reach. We don't want to just reach Houston and the local church, but whoever's listening, I think all the design of God is for us to grow, not to stay the same people. So,
amen.
You know, what's that for us, and how can we help the people to better understand that? How do I make sure that I don't stay stuck, Doogie? What is that like? How is that question? And I'll do my best to allude to the answer.
So Philippians 1:6 says this, mm-hmm. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to the completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Pastor, there's all these promises in the Bible that I'm meant for something better, that God started a work in me. And what do I do, Pastor, if I'm at a point where I'm praying, I'm reading my Bible, I'm following my leader, but I don't see a change in my life. I feel stuck. I don't see progression. What is the era? Is it? Do I need to wait on God? Do I need to take a step of faith? How do I discern if I'm in era or there's just an issue that's obvious and I can't see?
Doogie, I feel personally the question can go a few different ways, if I can. Jesus says something in, according to Matthew account, chapter 15 says, he quotes Isaiah. Mm. And Isaiah mentions I believe a prophetic fulfillment, and which is fulfilled here in the time of Christ. And it says that these people draw to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Thus, they worship me in vain. I'm going to allude to something. I know it's going to sound a little bit harsh, but not knowing him with our Bibles open. Because what happens is that just knowing Scripture doesn't mean you have a relationship. And I have to say this because there's a lot of audience. I do my best. Oh, and my limited time that God has allowed me to read the Word, I feel that I have not even scratched the surface of God's Word. That's how I feel about me. I want to know more. If any desire, I look at the Word. And again, I don't come from a huge educational background when it comes to the Word. I'm first generation believer. And I want to say this. If you want to get in a deeper relationship with the Lord, it's not knowing a lot of Scripture.
Mm.
Because you got to be careful now. And this is going to highlight what I'm trying to say. John chapter 5, verse 39 to 40 says, you search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And this are which that testify about me, but you're not willing to come to me that you may have life. So how about this? Jesus is saying to these Pharisees, you're searching for the Scripture for the eternal life, and you think that you're going to find it there, but these Scriptures in which you know are testifying about me, I'm standing in front of you, but you're not willing to come to me so that you would have life. So the Word in which they knew backwards is standing in front of them, And they were searching for the scripture, not because they wanted a relationship with God, but they wanted just to know scripture because, let's speak the truth, knowing certain words in scripture, I have met different people along my life, and you start to realize that they're using the word only to have a just a debate to win the conversation, not because they search for it to benefit into a relationship with the Lord. And then what happens is that, I'm going to answer to what Doogie's question is, you're going to find yourself spiritually stuck if you're just trying to learn scripture. And if there is no relationship, and if you're not willing to come to him so that he may show himself in a sense of revelation, I believe we could be good study of scripture, but it doesn't make us anointed. And I feel that that's the era with most of it. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14 says, but our minds are blinded, for until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. So meaning that the Old Testament became only the true revelation of a foreshadow of Christ when they encountered Christ. So we can know the word, but it doesn't mean that we know him. And again, just because I go Sunday to church and just because I grew up in church, I can stay in a stuck system thinking just to know a few scriptures makes me having a relationship with the Lord.
Amen. Pastor, I would totally, totally agree with you. Chaches, there is a lot of educated manus on a Bible that we know doesn't have that personal relationship. There are what we call secular scholars. Just kind of unspiritual, right? But there's a mistake that people make that are really unaware of the mistake. Is that, hold up, there is a time for me to read the Bible and study the Word of God.
Very good.
And I'm going to study it, and I'm going to do it, you know, with proper exegesis of the scripture. I'm going to, you know, follow systematic theology, and I'm going to learn, pastor, by Bible. And that gives me knowledge.
Yes.
But there's a whole different time, and this is where the people don't understand, is that a word by Devlisky is for study, amen. But where we get confused at, a word by Devlisky se omaro che duhoska. What does that mean? This is bread for my spirit, because, pastor, if I'm not reading in a relational ship reading, whether it be in the morning, whether it be in the evening, kanagodi se golo liste time or to read, you need a word every day from God. How do I know this, pastor? It's what Jesus said in the desert. He said to the enemy, when he was asked, create these rocks into bread. Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out from the mouth of God. We find out in that scripture, he's talking about the rhema word, a specific word. So in my relationship reading with God, and as I'm being in the word of God, and he's speaking to me, and I'm praying, and he's speaking to me, and I'm speaking to him in my prayer life, now I have the strength to go and study the word of God. If I don't got that private time with God set aside here, I'll never get the time to study the word of God here. I'll be running dry, Doogie. I'll be trying to work my way, trying to, Sapinantu earlier, the Pharisees, look for life on those scripture. But numa odil, dilduma mensa swakogis. And he wants to speak words of life every day.
Absolutely. Okay. Perfect. I'm going to say my life a little bit. And Kolya, Doogie, Angelo. And I'm not ashamed to say it now. But being a young minister, being busy.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are going to relate to this. If you're going at it only to give a word, you lost the focus already.
That's right.
And I'm in the Word, Bible study, and Thursday and Sunday, and I'm in the Word, and the people are getting blessed by the Word, but the speaker is dry. And I felt dry for a season until something simple the Lord ministered to me. And I believe until this day, I will still carry with that idea that the Lord ministered to me. Look for me as you're not preaching to no one just because you want to search for me.
Amazing, amazing.
And the overflow of that, and this is literally every time I get to minister, in this season, I'm not talking about 5 years ago, 6 years, I'm talking about this season. If any time I try to find a message for Sunday or for Thursday, it's my daily reading and spending
amen.
Time.
Amen.
With the, and then the overflow yes. of that.
That's it.
Becomes a message for the church.
That's for once.
Amen.
So I want to take this very time good. To say this one thing, and I think I might be quiet after this. But listen, you ready? I'm going to try to say it the best way I can. A desire to teach the Word of God without a relationship reading of the Word of God, Pastor, is just simply a desire to perform.
Very good.
It's just a desire to perform. If you ain't studying the Word of God for yourself first, numaso rodes sotides, you just want to perform.
Amen. 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 I think I said this a few Thursdays ago. A similar message about not knowing God with our Bibles open. And the reflection points that I shared was this. When is the last time that you couldn't put the Bible down even though you had to leave for work? But the prayer and the time of the Word in the morning just draw you to God. When's the last time we experienced that? I talked about when is the last time that you read something in the Word and you couldn't wait to share it with a friend or someone because of something that God revealed to you in your private time.
That's right.
When is the last time you ran across a passage and immediately you fell to your knees because of the revelation and the encounter that God gave you through
amazing.
The message?
My God.
When is the last time that your heart leaped for joy when you opened your eyes at the wondrous things that God has shown through His Word?
Amen.
These are things. The psalmist writes this in 119 verse 18 says, "Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your Word." Another translation says, "Your Torah, your law." And I believe we need that. I believe we need that as a church. That becomes food for my spirit. Consider the fact is that the Lord gives understanding to all things. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. I believe, again, Matthew chapter 4, it says, "Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." I believe we need to get to the text part, and this is for everyone, and I'm done. I believe we need to search relationship and let the overflow of what God does with us in the private, let it be the very food that we live by and also feed someone else.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Pastor, I have to be obedient.
Come on.
A little off topic, but I want to read something, then I'm going to ask you a question again.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay, go ahead.
So Romans 8 says this: "Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ." Pastor, how do I know if the Spirit of Christ is living in me?
There are evidence that Christ is working with us. Not to say that we're not going to be in seasons that we find ourselves dull, and that shouldn't be the extreme evidence that Christ is not with me. But I believe in moving forward, sanctified life of a believer, the evidence is, I'm going to drop this, the evidence that Christ liveth in you. Number one indication, you start to realize that you don't like the things that you used to like.
Very good.
Amen.
Nature changes, and this goes for everybody. Your nature is supposed to change. And the things that you used to like that other season, you start to realize that you find no taste for it. And then you start to realize that the fulfillment of God's word, that He will give you the desires of your heart, has to do with the new desires that He places in your spirit, so that the things that you want to accomplish now has to do with glorifying God and killing the flesh and the entirety of it. The Bible declares that if you love God and the love of God lives in you, then you hate the world. And that's the fact. So growing as a born-again believer and the Spirit of Christ is in me, I'm going to find love for the things of God and hate the things of the world.
That'll be amazing, amazing. Amen. And this is the evidence, Pastor Doogie, is because... And this is when I realized that I'm a Christian, that I'm a follower.
Come on.
Is because the things that I used to like doing, when I was conformed to the things of this world, I found myself to have a renewed mind. And those things, Doogie, they wasn't interesting. It wasn't a battle for me no more.
Yeah.
It wasn't an obstacle for me no more.
Correct.
And at a time I would stop and I would think, wow, I can't believe it. Like, it's just something happened that the things I once had a challenge with, now I don't anymore.
Yeah.
And this is what the Word of God does. This is what spending quality time, Angelo, with God does. It gives you a renewed mind. It strengthens you. It changes you. It shapes you. It molds you into this new creation that God wants you to be.
Amen.
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 You know, Koda, we don't take Jesus back to the places where God has taken us from. What do I mean? De Latero del Abriane Casino. Don't try to take Jesus there. Okay, Te Latur Katai Bar. Don't try to take him there.
Come on.
He took you out from the bar.
Come
he
on,
took
Angelo.
You out from the Borta. Casino. He took you out from that habit. No mame, what we want to do, I want to take my comfortable little place and I want to bring Jesus there. No, Jesus called you out. A lot of times, you know, somebody gets saved and they go back to that place where they used to go. They have a certain feeling in their gut. They're not comfortable anymore, Nick.
Yeah.
You know, it's never bothered me before.
Right.
I was comfortable here. No, I don't feel right no more. Well, you know what that is? That's the Holy Spirit telling you, hey, I brought you out of this place. Why are you bringing us back here? Amen. I want you out.
Perfect.
Amen?
Amen.
So we need to walk in the light.
Amen.
Romans chapter 8, just to add to what you're saying, perfect. And again, there are some key points there that the audience, I feel, Angelo, it's going to say, well, what's the big deal for me to go to casino? And then you start to realize, you said the key pointing there. God liberated us from a life of that. Here to everyone, so that it doesn't become like a work-based thing at all.
No, okay? Not at all.
So you don't change those things so that you can receive the gift of God?
Mm-mm.
You accept them in your heart and let God do the work, because otherwise, then you're going to boast in yourself because you're the ones that took all these things out of your life. But in a spiritual mindset, God does liberate us from these things. So again, sonship through the Spirit, amen? Just to follow up the question that Doogie asked. Romans chapter 8, it says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, those are sons of God. For if you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but have received the spirit of adoptions, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness of our spirit. Listen again. The Spirit himself, capital S, the Holy Spirit, bears witness to what? To our spirit, that we are children of God. And if children of God, then heirs, and if heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. And if indeed we suffer with him, that we also might be glorified together.
Amen.
My God.
Amen.
So here it is. The journey of salvation is that I put to death the things of the flesh, and I find a pleasing desire to do that. Again, Romans says that very thing. It says that the love of God is poured into my heart by the Holy Spirit, which is that God gives us every day. That's our encounter every single day. To everyone that's listening, I'm going to say this. Being a born-again believer is a consistent moving forward journey.
Mm.
It's not a stuck. It's not a standstill. It's not a stagnant. We should always strive to look to grow, because the very Spirit of God that lives in us is no way stagnant. It's always swooshing forward and always, I'm going to say for myself, demanding change from my body.
Amen.
And would you say, Pastor, also it's a consistent self-evaluation?
Absolutely. I said that today. Absolutely.
Yeah. So 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
But there's a key there. If we confess, before confess, absolutely, I got to do an evaluation. Now, I want you to hear what 2 Corinthians 13:5, Penaldeek. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test.
Very good.
Stuff.
Self-evaluation is very important in a Christian's life. Amen.
Absolutely. I think the only thing I would add to it, and I'm really done, okay, I promise. As the tabernacle of Moses is the design of that, as they come to that bronze altar of sacrifice and they have to go to the laven to wash before they go into
that
the holy
evaluation.
Place.
Evaluation. It was a mirror on
that. It was a mirror. And they would see if in their face, if there was any flaws. So by the washing of the water,
that's right,
they could wash their faces. Before you know what's crazy about it? That water, guess what? You just finished slaughtering an animal. There's a high probability that there's blood on that water.
You were some dirty.
So,
yeah.
So here it is. The revelation of Christ through the Word of God, through the redemptive work of Christ, the Word of God becomes alive. And where it becomes alive,
amen,
it brings a sense of conviction unto righteousness.
Wow.
So when I look at the water, which is the word, Ephesians chapter 2 declares that the word of God is water. Okay? So it brings a sense of washing.
Amazing.
But it's only by the blood of Jesus that washing becomes effective. Like that, I don't boast anything that God sanctifies through my life, because it's only by his grace and through the finished work of the cross. So here, let's take the work-based here out of it. The fact is that the word of God will convict us unto righteousness. And without knowing my faults, how will I be sanctified if I find myself without error and thinking I don't need to change?
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Paul says something. He says, imitate me as I imitate Christ.
Wow.
Perfect.
And if you're not in the word of God, how could you imitate somebody that you never even heard of before?
Wow.
How could you imitate somebody or have no relationship? And us as believers, as servants, I heard this quote earlier, Angelo, and it says, we're not called to imitate the world. We're called to influence the world.
Thank you, God.
Mm. Amen.
Amen. Just to add to that, I think everything we discussed, Korea, I think Romans 12:2 sums it up.
Mm.
Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world,
but
be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is,
Amen.
His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Every time I mention this scripture, I always mention it. The word where it says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. Oh, swato conform there, Korea, is to be dressed, to be fashioned, to look like the world. So us as Christians, we can't go about this aspect of serving and doing when we're dressed and we look at and look like the world and we have that mindset. It's something that, you know, and by through prayer, relationship, everything we discussed, something happens, is the renewing of our mind, Pastor. And we're able, when we start, things start to happen, we start to take captive our thoughts, place him before God, and we see what we can attest and approve. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
One thing, and I have to. I'm sorry.
I don't think we could get done. I'm sorry. We're gonna keep going.
Yeah.
With Golia,
listen, Golia, Angelo, Dugi, here. Okay. So Christ lives in me, right?
Yes.
Mm.
Sanctified by the Word.
Amen.
And when it comes to people that do mistakes,
hey,
I have to understand that if I love someone, and I said this to someone that I do love only a few days ago, you're probably listening, and if you're listening, I'm gonna repeat the same thing I said, so you do know that I do love you and do care for you. If we love someone and we see them in error, we go tell them.
Yeah.
Because there are many people that are living in a mistake, and I'm sorry, criticism shouldn't be the avenue which you take. The action of love, with love, says, don't do that because you're going to go in the bad place.
Yeah.
My point is this. If all of these things are true about us, I feel like we live in a generation that love becomes something that is cheap. We say it, but there's no action.
Wow. Amazing.
It's such a common word. Love you, brother. I love you guys. Talk to you later, babe.
Love forgives. Love confronts. love keeps no record of wrong. In the contrary, we keep the record of wrong.
No.
We display it. We make a public mockery out of each other. Anytime somebody does a mistake, we want to put them to the stake. We want to crucify them all over again. And then what happens? You say, if that's love, then have I misinterpreted the love of Christ? And I feel that's in this season for me. I guess the older I get, I start to realize that the true evidence of Christ living inside the heart, the core of it is love.
Amen.
Amen.
Very good. Amen.
Agreed.
Amen.
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 So, can we conclude?
I think we conclude.
We're going to conclude. That is episode 6.
Yes, sir.
I hope that blesses you as it blessed us. And keep us in prayer. We want to do something different for the coming seasons. And do us a favor, like always. Forward it to someone that you know that needs to hear it. And we'll catch you next time.
God bless you guys.
God bless you.
God bless.